God, our Father, we do thank you that you make it possible for us to come into your presence. And we thank you that there is a very special way in which we're in your presence when we turn to the Bible, because it's your living word. So as we do that now, we do pray that by the power of your Spirit, you will help us to hear what you have to say to us through the Bible, and you will also help us to act on it. We do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is great to be here this morning. I hope you think so. I think it is. It's really good for Christians to meet together. We meet together like this to remember God's love for us. And we can join together in praising him. And we can bring our prayers to him together. And it really is important for us to take time to remember what God has done for us. Being together as God's people in church is just a really vital element of following Jesus, of being disciples. And that's what, as a church, we're about. We're about making disciples, growing disciples, and being disciples. And actually, that's the reason, the main reason why we meet together like this. We meet together to help us grow as disciples, to help us to see more about what it means to live for Jesus. But I wonder, what effect will all this being together, what effect is it going to have on you tomorrow? How is it going to impact on what you're doing tomorrow? I think that's an important question, because even though through the last few weeks we've been thinking about being disciples at work, at leisure, in our community, being disciples in marriage, in family, I think it's still all too easy to think that being a disciple, first and foremost, involves going to church. After all, that's what the people we live among think. This is our hobby. And when people around think that, it's quite easy to kind of get sucked into that way of thinking. And you see, all around us, people split their lives into compartments. There's my work life and my personal life. It's why when, say, a politician has an affair, you'll hear people say, well, what they do in their private life has nothing to do with their work life. And as Christians, it's all too easy to kind of just fall into that same trap, to split life into two compartments. So there's the spiritual bit, there's church, there's prayer, reading the Bible. And then there's the non-spiritual bit, basically the rest of life. And you see, it is quite easy subconsciously to just start thinking that actually what Jesus is really interested in is the spiritual bit. And I've got a kind of feeling that that was the problem that Simon Peter had. We've seen the story of Jesus meeting Simon Peter, but let's listen to it again now as Steve comes to read it for us from the Bible.
The reading's from Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11 can be found on page 1032 of your pew Bibles. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boat up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Steve. So, huge crowds had gathered to hear Jesus. If we'd read just a little bit before this, we'd have seen that Jesus had started his ministry and he was going around and healing people. And I should think it's that that meant that the crowds were just flocking to him to see what was going on. So this great crowd had gathered to hear, and so Jesus got into Simon's boat, asked Simon to push off from the shore, and then using the boat like a sort of floating pulpit, Jesus taught the crowds. And Simon seems to have been quite happy with that. Preaching and teaching, that was Jesus' business. Simon was happy to be involved. But then, when Jesus had finished and the crowds were dispersing, something rather different happened. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And I do wonder what Simon thought at that point. On the Miracle Maker clip, they could kind of get that look into his face, but I suspect that what Simon was thinking would certainly not have been printable in the Bible. He was a professional fisherman. He spent his life fishing on this lake. He must have known exactly where the fish were. He would have known the lake inside out, where the fish are, where and when they couldn't be found. He knew it. And here was Jesus, a complete novice, telling him what to do. I can tell you, Simon's natural reaction must have been, "Jesus, you do what you do best." That's teaching people about God. "Leave me to do what I do best." That's fishing. That's my job. But because it was Jesus, Simon bit his tongue. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And suddenly, there was the greatest catch of fish he'd ever seen. You see, Jesus was as interested and as involved in Simon Peter's fishing as he was in teaching the crowd. To be a disciple of Jesus means recognizing that not only do you need Jesus in order to help you to pray or in order to help you to understand the Bible, you need Jesus in order to do your day-to-day work fruitfully. It was said of the great scientist Michael Faraday, who was a Christian, that when he went to the prayer meeting, he forgot he was a scientist. When he went into the laboratory, he forgot he was a Christian. Very easily done, actually. But it's a mistake. If you want your work to be fruitful, whatever you'll be doing tomorrow, you actually need to involve Jesus in it. You need to see what you are doing tomorrow as something that he is interested in and which you need him to be at work through you if your work is to be fruitful. So that's the first thing that Simon Peter shows us about discipleship. Actually, Jesus is interested in the whole of your life. But there's another thing as well. And I think this was even more surprising than this huge catch of fish. Because did you notice what Simon Peter's reaction to all of this was? You'd expect once he got back to the shore, he'd be, "Wow, this is amazing, this is great." But no, it's completely the opposite to that. "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Why did he say that? How can a colossal catch of fish make someone realize that they're sinful? Doesn't seem to add up. But as Luke goes on to explain, it actually was that catch of fish which convinced Simon that he was a sinner. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. I think the clue is in one word. "Go away from me, Lord." In the first century, that word "Lord" could just be a polite way of addressing somebody, a bit like saying "Sir." But more likely and more commonly, it was the word that was used for God. And I think that's how Peter is using it. When you see something like this, this huge catch of fish, which Simon, as an expert fisherman, hadn't been able to manage himself. Well, it must tell you something about the person who told you to let down the nets. Simon must have realized that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. He wasn't just a great teacher, somebody who had gone around doing healing. Jesus had just done something that only God could do. And Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord." I wonder how you feel, or how you would feel, about coming face to face with God. I guess most people in our society feel quite glib about it, because in our society we tend to think of God, if we think about him at all, as kind of some sort of benevolent grandfatherly figure or something like that. But actually, God is holy. And to be face to face with him is bound to expose your own lack of holiness. In fact, I would say that if you have never felt like Peter felt when you've stood before Jesus, you've never actually met the real Jesus. Simon Peter had been happy to loan his boat to Jesus' religious work. He still hadn't realized that Jesus was the Lord of all that he did, not just the religious bit. Maybe even though he'd been willing to follow Jesus, he thought that that was just about church and prayer and Bible reading, and that Jesus wasn't really involved in the rest of his life. And when he realized that Jesus was involved in everything, it was a shock. Because, let's face it, whilst we might be able to keep up the appearance of being good religious people while we're in church, if Jesus is involved in everything we do, every word you say, every thought you think, every action, if Jesus is there, wouldn't you also have to say, "I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman, away from me"? But Jesus' response to Simon was another surprise. "Don't be afraid." What's that about? Why did Jesus say that Simon shouldn't be afraid? Was Jesus saying, "No, don't be afraid, Peter. You're actually quite a decent bloke, really. Don't worry about it"? Don't think so. Or was Jesus just trying to say that Peter had somehow misunderstood God, and that even though Peter was a sinner, it didn't really matter because God didn't care about things like that? No, that doesn't work either. There's only one reason that Jesus could say to Simon, "Don't be afraid." And that was because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like Simon, sinners like me, sinners like you. But that was something that Simon had to respond to for himself. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. You see, being a disciple begins with recognizing that you are a sinner. That actually, if you were to come face to face with God, far from sort of being all chummy with him, you would actually just have to fall backwards, because he is perfectly holy and you are not. Being a disciple begins with recognizing that they're just not good enough. But being a disciple doesn't mean that your sin should lead you to despair, because Jesus actually came to deal with your sin. And when you've recognized that, then just like Peter, you won't need to be afraid. And then you'll realize that being a disciple means actually not just having Jesus interested in the churchy bits of life. It means having Jesus involved in the whole of your life. We use the kind of expression sometimes about giving your life to Jesus. And that's what becoming a disciple, becoming a Christian means. It means giving your life to Jesus, the whole of your life. The great thing is that when you do that, you find that by giving your life away to him, it's the only way of actually having real life for yourself. Let's pray. God, our Father, we do ask this morning that, that the things that we've seen in Simon Peter, you will help us to see in our own lives. Help us to recognize that before your greatness, all of us are sinners, but that you came to deal with that. Please give us the grace to respond as Simon Peter did, and to leave our old lives and to follow you. And as we do that, please help us to go into the rest of this week knowing that to be a disciple means trusting you, not just in things that happen here in church, but in all that we do this week. And so please help us to be disciples and to live as disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.